wait a minute, it's going into you. It seems it's, it looks like it's going into your head. I think it's going into your head. Oh, it's definitely going into your head.
Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I got a video camera. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, this is audio. How could a video camera possibly be of use in this type of an artistic exercise? Well, I'm videoing myself now. I'm videoing the audio recording of this. I've got a visual representation of the recording. I'm recording the screen. The computer screen has a flashing recording sign up. So I'm recording that. So I've got a video record of the fact that I'm recording an audio show. Not only that, I'm recording the audio again. So I suppose in a way I'm like the people who turn up on the scene of an accident and film it, and then other people turn up and film the people filming, and then the BBC make a radio show all about the media, and they talk about how the journalists were filming each other and making shows about each other and reporting about incidents involving reporters, and they'll go on and they'll have some reporter on and they'll just have a half hour debate about the fact that the media is very inward looking. Well, that's what I'm doing here. I'm being inward looking. I'm recording myself, recording an audio show, making a video of it. Now, that said, I probably won't publish the video. I'll probably make a fresh video later if I have any creative energy left in me after saying all this. I don't know. I run out of creative steam sometimes. Up until today, I hadn't recorded anything since December, unless you count the video, which I don't, but I probably should. I'll count the video. One. There's the video. It's up on the website if you want to see it. It's a video with my cats in it. It's basically me saying stuff like I'm doing now. A lot of the video footage is actually superfluous. But you can't go around just putting videos up on YouTube that are sound only. You have to put something for people to look at. The young people today, they want something to look at, and they want to look at it for 8 minutes approximately, including commercials, and they want you to change the image on the screen every half a millisecond so that they don't get bored. And if Ozzy Osbourne's not in it, there better be one of the girls from the Playboy Mansion, or your man, what's his name? That pop star, what's his name? Snoop Doggy Pig Arse. He can be in it sometimes. I think he's still popular with the young people. Snoop Doggy Pig Arse and Eminem and a. And all of those people. That's what you young people are into. You can't sit down and listen to an audio podcast for a whole 40 minutes. That's why I'm making the shows shorter now. They're being shorter these last few months. Basically because you young people are morons. And if I make this any longer, you'll probably collapse in a heap and die from lack of stimulation. What you haven't noticed, because you're so stupid, is that instead of making one 40-minute show, I make two 20-minute shows now, and you still get the same amount into you. I'm still videoing, in case you're wondering. I could probably video something else. Hold on, I'll turn the camera around and face me. Hello me, there's me. Now I can't see myself in the view screen of the video player, but I assume it can see me. Were I to turn the video around now, I can turn around the view screen. Oh, there I am. Hello me. I can see me now. I can see that I'm being caught in the view of the screen. Now I do need a shave if I'm to live up to society's expectations of the normal face. Apparently it's not okay to have an unshaven face unless you have a full beard. Anything in between is considered scruffy. You're not allowed to be in the process of growing a beard. So if you're going to go from clean shaving to having a full beard, you better do it instantly, or else go and hide for a while, and basically never let yourself be seen while you're either growing a beard or while you're in the process of removing a beard. Never stop in the middle of a shave and go out and let yourself be seen, because that'll be your reputation destroyed forever. You'll never be able to show your face in public again. You won't even be able to make videos of it like I'm doing now. Well, you can, but you won't be. YouTube will ban them, I can tell you. They'll come up with some reason. They'll say, that thing that you're doing now has been copyrighted by some pop star who has a reputation for going around with a half-shaven beard. He shaves the right half of his beard and leaves the left side, the purpose being to look scruffy in one of his music videos. But he's copyrighted that, and we've been told to take it down now off YouTube, or else he'll be sued into oblivion. We don't want to go into oblivion. We're here to make money. We've been taken over by Google now, and Google is going to save us. Google is going to have a thing where you can go on to Google and you type in the word videos and you press search and it'll find videos for you, and we're the ones with the videos. We've got the videos and we're not afraid to let you see them in return for watching some advertisements or whatever kind of revenue system we managed to come up with. We're hoping Google has something for that, because we're out of ideas. All we know how to do is fill up thousands of computer hard drives with videos. And hopefully someone will find some way of making money with them. Now, we're approximately 7 minutes into the show, and we don't seem to have a theme yet. Now, don't let that worry you. That's perfectly normal. This isn't one of those public radio shows where they go on and they say, today we're going to talk about the economic situation in Outer Mongolia and how it relates to the possible assassination of Barack Osama bin Laden Hussein. When we finally hunt him down and catch him, because George Bush said he'd catch him, and presumably now that he's retired, he's going to devote the rest of his life to catching him, the Al Qaeda guy, not the president guy. I know it's easy to get them mixed up. The president guy is called Barack Hussein Umbaden bin Laden, and the bin Laden guy is called something else. Why they couldn't change their names, I don't know. If they can change their nationalities to become president, surely to God they can change their names to avoid confusion. Don't be surprised if someone from the American Secret Service accidentally comes along and assassinates your new president, just because you couldn't be bothered to go through the legal process of having his name changed. Let that be a warning. Not that that would be a good thing to happen. That would be absolutely appalling. And it'll be all because of a clerical error that someone made. Someone forgot to email what's his name on his BlackBerry and say, you should change your name to something less assassinationable. You don't want your name on all those hit lists, especially if your own security guards are required to hunt down and kill the person whose name is almost the same as yours. That's just asking for trouble. I know you just want to get on with your work after the eight balls you were at last night, and all the musician things that you had to go and see, and all the hands you had to shake, and you just want to get on with it. But I rather think that your security is quite important. When I go to work down the place where I work, I work in an office. We've got a security guard. He checks your ID at the door, makes sure you either work there or you've been invited there, and that's how I make sure I can get through my 7.5 hours a day, knowing that I'm reasonably safe and not about to be assassinated. I think the President of the United States of America is just as much entitled to that level of security as I am. He's more important than me. If he gets assassinated, there's going to be a war will break out on the streets. There'll be people going around smashing windows and stealing televisions from shops, especially the 72-inch ones. Whenever there's any kind of a civil disagreement over a political situation, it's very important people get large televisions and remove them from shops. That's just a good part of the process. It's I don't know. party. Just sort of, it's something to do with spreading news, and they want to prevent all the wrong news being shown on these screens in TV shops, so that people get, especially, this is all back in World War II, the start. It was called propaganda. Whenever there's any civil unrest, people make damn sure that television shops only have the correct channel showing. They're showing their point of view. So anything that's not showing Fox News gets removed from the shop. And that's called, it's called something. But people assume that it's just people taking advantage of the situation to steal a television. It's not. It's just propaganda. Hitler used to do it, except they didn't have widescreen televisions then. So he used to set up radio stations, and the guy would come on and say, "Hello, this is a radio show about nothing. Kill the Jews. English food isn't very nice, and we need to send over some of our cattle and our soldiers to take over the place and farm it and do it properly." And something. But don't mind what I'm saying. This is just a load of nonsense. Just let it soak into your head, but don't listen to the actual words coming out of my head. By the way, what do you think of my moustache? Do you think I should change shampoos? My hair feels a bit greasy at the moment. I think I've got that illness that makes you automatically speak in another language, another accent of a country you've never been to. I'm supposed to be German. I seem to be talking in an Irish accent here, or what I assume is an Irish accent anyway. I hear this, your man from the RubenNerdShow.com has the same thing. He tries to do an impersonation of Neil from Into Your Head, and it comes out in a Scottish old lady's accent. But there's lots we can do about that. That's all in the future. That hasn't been invented yet. I'm busy trying to take over Europe, and apparently people are coming to get me. Apparently you're not allowed to go and put people into gas chambers and kill them, not even in your own country where you've been democratically elected leader. For fuck's sake, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to stand for it. There's going to be war if anyone tries to stop me. Yours sincerely, Hitler. Rather controversial. He's critiquing not only Hitler's hair, but his accent, and he's trying to imply somehow. I don't know what he's trying to imply. I wouldn't be so immodest as to try to claim that I understand what's going on in his head, but I do try to. I try to interpret what comes out of his mouth as best I can. It's best anyone can do. Any psychotherapist does the same. If a psychotherapist is listening to a patient saying stuff, the psychotherapist, not being a fully qualified psychiatrist, doesn't completely understand the working of the person's brain, but they still have to apply some sort of interpretation to what comes out of the patient's mouth. Even if the stuff that comes out of the person's mouth is complete gobbledygook, I suppose if it's if the person is talking in tongues, then you have to assume that some sort of that the person inside the brain is actually fine, because you can't just say, "Oh, he's talking in tongues, he must be mad." Well, he's not mad. If someone is talking in tongues, that just means that an evil demon has taken him over, or possibly a good demon, I don't know. But that used to happen in the Bible. People used to talk in tongues, and they go blah 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 blah, and it either meant that it was actually a 6-month-old child who'd been mistaken for a person of older age than they actually are, and had mistakenly being served alcohol and become drunk and started speaking in tongues, or else it was a baby who couldn't speak properly yet and seemed to speak in tongues. But that was never explained fully in the Bible, because of course the people who wrote the Bible weren't proper ghost writers. They were living beings. They weren't ghosts yet, so they hadn't been to the afterlife yet, so they couldn't report everything clearly. They were only telling a third-party story of what they heard from Jesus. Jesus used to say stuff like, yeah, it's great up there. I was up there once on a visit, even though I haven't died yet. I have a feeling I might at some point die, though, but I'll try and come back for a week or two and tell you what it's like up there. But my dad says it's great. He says it's there's all sorts of holy stuff going on, and sometimes when we get bored, we have a war with Satan. We always make sure Satan loses, of course, so they can be a bit predictable in that sense. But it has to be that way. If it can be a bit risky to have a war where Satan has a 50% chance of winning, because if he wins, then we're fucked. He's not going to say, oh, it was just a game, I'll give you back all your money. No, he won't. He'll say, I win, I'm taking over the world now. In fact, that did happen once. I'm not sure quite what the outcome was. Anyway, that's how the Bible got written, so don't take it too seriously in that sense. Well, feel free to take it seriously. It's your right. You're perfectly entitled to follow the Bible and live the way of the Christian people. In fact, that's probably a pretty good way to live, especially if you don't kill anyone and you don't covet your neighbor's cash and you obey most of the Ten Commandments and won't go around hating people, unless, of course, they're Satan. You're allowed to hate Satan. Well, yeah, you're allowed to. Actually, that's a good point. You're not allowed to hate Satan, because hatred is bad, but you're allowed to, you have to love Satan, but not follow his teachings. So while you're loving him, when you go up to Satan's door to offer him a microwave dinner, because he's got no one to visit him on Christmas Day, make sure he doesn't invite you in for a chat and talk you around to his way of thinking, because that's what cult leaders do. Satan is basically a cult leader. He leads a cult, and they all worship him like Satan. That's why they're called. They're called Satan worshippers, because they worship Satan. That's no way to live, I can tell you. You shouldn't go around worshipping Satan. You'll end up just becoming a bad person. It's a recipe for disaster. It's like if I give you, here's putting two rotten eggs, half a pound of flour, that's not really flour, it's actually sand painted white and mixed with cocaine. That's a recipe for disaster. So if you see a recipe like that in your recipe book, you're damn well not going to use it. You definitely won't eat the resulting cake. They should apply the same theory to what Satan says. If you go by what Satan says, that's a recipe for disaster. Don't go cooking it, whatever Satan tells you to cook. Especially if it's young children. You can't go around cooking young children. That should be obvious, quite frankly.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us for guestbook, intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system.
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
intoyourhead.com.